If you would, take a Bible and turn with me to Philippians. We're going to read from two passages, one in chapter 2, verses 19 through 30, and chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. And as you're turning, I would remind you that this evening at 6 o'clock, we will wrap up our study of the book of Revelation. I would encourage you to come back and to share in that time with us. But Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30, and chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them are seeking their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but Timothy's worth you know. How like a son with a father he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I will also come soon. Still, I think it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for all of you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. He was indeed so ill that he nearly died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, in order that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. Welcome him, then, in the Lord, with all joy and honor, such people, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for those services that you could not give me. And in chapter 4, starting in verse 15, you Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. As we think this morning, first I want to make a disclaimer. You see, the title is Appreciating Others. This message, the scripture and the title, were on the board for Vicki weeks ago. And actually, the message was written about 3 weeks ago. So, just want to make a disclaimer that it wasn't written since last Sunday. And I do appreciate the kind words and the cards and all the expressions of appreciation on my 5-year anniversary. But I did want to say up front, I didn't write this because of that. This was already written. Okay. You know, we often talk about how Christianity is about relationships. Relationships not just with God, but relationships with other people. Most of the time we mention its relationships with other Christians, but folks, really, there are a lot of folks out there that cannot see their way to accept Christ if we don't relate to them. And sometimes it's not just about relationships with other Christians, but sometimes we have to build relationships with those who have not taken that opportunity to accept Jesus and become their friends before we can actually present verbally the gospel. Though my contention is we present the gospel through our actions, even when we don't speak. And so Christianity is about relationships. And it is about relationships with God, with other Christians, and even with non-Christian folks. And that must be true, that we are family, as Christians too, because of how sometimes we treat each other. We sometimes fuss and fight. when we should be cutting each other some slack. We all know that. We see that all around us. On occasion, we've been known to be jealous of each other, or of thinking that one is the favorite or getting more attention. And doesn't that happen in families? I know it's happened in my family. My brothers and I know that my sister was the favorite because she was the only girl. Right? We still know that. Siblings do that. Family members do that, and yet they continue to find ways to care for each other and love each other. And you know, sometimes we even show genuine love and concern for others because we'll give them a shirt off our back. Family members as well as friends and sometimes even strangers. But one of those things that happens in families and that we far too often are guilty of, even outside of families, is taking each other for granted. I know none of you do, but I have to admit there are times that I take family and there are times that I take other folks for granted. Not that I mean to, but sometimes we become so comfortable or so caught up with other things in life that we take folks for granted. We forget to say those two difficult words. Anybody tell me what they are? That's right. Thank you. It's so hard for us to say those words sometimes, especially with meaning. And we fail to let people know that we appreciate them. Not just what they do, but we appreciate them as persons. As persons who are important. Who among us does not like to hear words of appreciation? Is anybody in here that doesn't like to be appreciated or someone to tell you you're appreciated? And as I said, I'm just as guilty as anyone else in not expressing appreciation for what some do, but even more so, not of telling someone that I appreciate them as a person and as who they are. So how do we do that? How do we appreciate others in ways that will build stronger relationships and strengthen our family of faith? Now, I must say also here that I am indebted in my studies some weeks back to Gary Long for some of the thoughts this morning. Now, as we read about Paul, we know that Paul was used to being in the forefront of missionary work. He was used to being the front man. That work to which he was called. And sometimes it seems that Paul is overbearing in doing that. We can look at many places where Paul speaks and expects people to listen to him as if Jesus himself were speaking to them. Sometimes he was so much in the limelight that he ended up in trouble, spelled P-R-I-S-O-N. He ended up in prison very often. And such is the case when he writes this letter to the church at Philippi. It is considered one of Paul's prison epistles. He wanted to visit with this church so badly, and yet he had been arrested for his preaching and his teaching, and he wasn't sure, A, if he would get out of prison, much less B, when he would get out of prison. He was distraught because he believed he knew what was needed at Philippi in this church, which was a strong church but needed to be stronger. And he wondered how in the world that would be accomplished if he wasn't present. As I said, sometimes Paul was impressed with his own importance. But as he is in prison and he has time to think about it, and ponder this, he remembered that he was not the only one who had talents and skills for the work that needed to take place in the church. Timothy had great potential, and in fact had proven himself in some of the missionary endeavors in which Paul had been involved. And so as Paul is thinking about how are we going to accomplish this, he says, well, you know, Timothy did a pretty good job. I think I can trust Timothy to go there. And in sending Timothy, Paul was actually presenting him with a compliment, showing appreciation for what Timothy not only had done, but for who he had come to know that Timothy was as a person and as a Christian. So Paul sent Timothy, and he came to the conclusion that Timothy could care for the needs in Philippi, but he also concluded that Timothy needed the chance to serve without always being in Paul's shadow. Timothy needed the opportunity to show once again what he could do and how he could serve for the Christian good. Paul valued Timothy not just for his work, but Paul valued Timothy for the person that he was. In fact, he describes Timothy like a son working with a father, and expresses that appreciation and that confidence in Timothy with the words, "I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare." Think about all the people that associated with Paul. And yet here Paul says, you know, come to think of it, I don't have anybody else that I would trust any more and have any more confidence in than Timothy. And as he shares that in this letter, and as he shares that with Timothy, he is sharing that sense of appreciation and empowered him to become a greater leader. So one way we can appreciate others and build stronger relationships is to tell them that we appreciate them and to be confident in their abilities and tell them, you know, you can do this. Encourage them to lead in service. That in itself is appreciation. Paul also expresses appreciation for others in his statements about Epaphroditus. Paul sends him along with Timothy with both words of praise for Epaphroditus' ministry to Paul, because he had experienced that caring, that concern, and with words of praise for his concern and the concern of the Philippian church over him. He encourages and shows his appreciation for Epaphroditus, but he also shows his appreciation to the Philippian church for their concern over this person who had almost died because of his love of Christ and his ministry and mission. Paul wanted them to be aware that Epaphroditus was recovering well, but he praises them for their prayerful support. Gary Long writes, "It is possible Paul was showing the congregation their care, concern, and prayer served as part of the healing of Epaphroditus. We can learn from this that believers are to take steps to help and care for others, even those who serve the Lord. When we care about the well-being of others, and when we show that, we affirm their importance to us and make our relationships with them stronger." Some years ago, Hardy Clemons, former pastor of First Baptist Church Greenville, raised some interesting questions in a meeting that was held on the campus of Anderson. I had him there to speak about a subject to which he speaks very well, saying goodbye to your grief, which involves approaching and appreciating and doing for others. And he spoke of what he called the casserole and cornbread brigade. The casserole and cornbread brigade. They're always there when there's a death in the church family. And how important that is. And I am not in the least belittling that, because I know how important it is and how important you are. And how many of you do that even without thinking or contacting other folks. It's a wonderful ministry. And he spoke of that and praised those folks. But then he turned around and said, "Now let me ask the rest of you a question." As I was sitting there and thinking, okay, where is he going with this? He said, "When was the last time you took a meal to the person whose divorce just became final that day? Or when did you go to the family in which someone just lost their job and offer to keep the children for a few hours while they sit there and try and figure things out? I still remember when someone in our neighborhood in Anderson, when we lived there, experienced a death in their family. And they were devastated. And my friend Steve Litton simply got on his riding lawnmower, rode 3 blocks, mowed their grass, drove home and put up his riding lawnmower and never said a word. Care and appreciation happen in small ways, sometimes small ways we think, but they can be so significant in how they affect others. From cutting the grass to writing a short note or sending a card to let someone know that you miss them or that you appreciate the gift that they are to you. Perhaps the place to start is with family. And maybe sometimes we have such difficulty because we can't really put it into words. It's okay to write a note to your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, or whoever, to express that appreciation. Paul gives another example of this when he thanks the Philippian church for their support of him as well. The Philippian church was the only church to give Paul financial support in the beginning of his ministry. And he expresses gratitude for what they have done, both financially and for the work that they have carried on. As one writer put it, gratitude is the fruit of a thankful heart. And expressing gratitude strengthens relationship. Paul goes to tremendous lengths in openly speaking of his heartfelt thanks and appreciation for their generosity. And he even equates what they do, not just financially, but their prayers and everything else they do, the little things, as an offering to God. The expression of appreciation for the support and actions of others does strengthen relationships. But let's think, how often do husbands or wives thank the other for helping keep the house clean? Or for cooking a meal? Or for working, whether it's inside or outside the home? How often do we take those things for granted and never say, you know, I appreciate this. Or thank you, that was good. Or thanks for your help. Do we thank each other for the care and affection that others show? Do we thank each other in our church for the work that is done or for the faithfulness they show in attendance, in teaching, in singing, in sharing a kind word or a smile? The German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, and I quote, "In ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give. And it is only with gratitude that life can become rich." Most of Paul's letters include a section of thanksgiving, a section where he writes something like this, "I thank my God for you." Paul not only expresses this thanksgiving to God, but to the persons in the church, so that they may know he is not taking them for granted. He also does this so that they will build stronger relationships as they follow his example, not with polite applause or trite expressions, but with a genuine affection and appreciation, recognizing that what is given to them has enriched their lives so much. I think we need to all remember that true appreciation begets greater service and more positive living in the world. And in that, and with that idea of thanksgiving and appreciation, I would like to share the following with you.
Speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire and have not love, my words are vain, sounding brass and hopeless gain. Though I may give, possess and striving so my love profess, but not be given by love within, the prophet soon turn strangely dim. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control, our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are freed. Amen, amen, amen.
And may our spirits that long to be made whole become more whole because of the grace and appreciation and love shared not only with God, but with each other. Would you join me in prayer? Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for those persons that you put within our lives, those for whom we can offer service and love and grace, but Lord, also those who share your grace with us. Help us to be more diligent in showing our appreciation not only to you, but to them, even in the small things that we can say and do, so that our relationships will not only be stronger, but the relationship of your church to the world will become greater. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 656. Take time to be holy. As we sing this hymn, our altar is open. It is open for any decision that you might make, whether that would be a decision to accept Christ publicly for the first time, to recommit yourself to Christ and to serving from this place, or in becoming a part of this fellowship. Hymn number 656, Take Time to Be Holy.